In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Our text is the lesson just read. We'd like to focus on the final two verses. Therefore, this is what the Lord says, I will return to Jerusalem with mercy, and there my house will be rebuilt, and the measuring line will be stretched out over Jerusalem, declares the Lord Almighty. Proclaim further, this is what the Lord Almighty says, my towns will again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion and choose Jerusalem. So far, the text. Perhaps this fall quarter was particularly difficult. That suggested itself to me because when I offered the option in theological ethics of choosing one's own topic, an unusually high percentage of the class chose the ethical and theological questions which attend suicide. Now let's say that their interest was purely academic and not existential. Assuming that, don't we all have to admit that there is still a strong tug for us to misdirect our energies away from mastering the sacred languages, away from the fathers, from systematics, and from practical theology, into the foibles and foibles of our institution, of our church, of our own personal situation? We can, to put it in a word and in a very pedestrian way, become exceedingly small-minded if we're not careful. And you see, I think Zechariah, at the end of the church year, comes with a word that's especially tailored to people who are tempted to be small-minded. He came to a people that was distressed in many ways. They had focused on one another's weaknesses. They had divided into factions in the Second Temple period. And they were so cynical concerning one another that they were continually appealing to the pagan Persians to settle their disputes and, if possible, marshal muscle against the other side. How small their vision was. And they compared their little temple with the great plazas of Marduk, the great shrines of Babylon, and God's kingdom looked terribly small. Indeed, it appeared that the wise Jews had remained behind and continued to enjoy many more blessings than these who had returned to the land of Israel. They were defeated and defeatist in their attitude. But Zechariah, the man whose name means Yahweh remembers, called them to remember Yahweh. And as soon as they began to remember Yahweh, they got the big picture afresh. This first vision that serves as our text for today holds up this great claim. Although God's people appear to be troubled, while the nations that oppress them appear to be prosperous, in reality this is only a small part of the picture. Indeed, it's a tiny fragment, and God is going to move in a cosmic universal way and blow away that part of the picture so that all that remains is His returning mercy and grace. It is going to reach out and envelop the whole world of those who have faith. Zechariah puts it so beautifully, God is jealous. He will not permit what He owns to be owned by another. He will not permit what He has rescued to be incarcerated by another. He will restore his people. He will have mercy. And so as his visions trot out, all eight of them in the second part of his book as well, he points them toward the agency of that mercy, the great Messiah. For he foretold his lowliness, his humanity, his rejection and betrayal for 30 pieces of silver, his crucifixion, his priesthood, his kingship. In a word, the kingdom of God was that mercy that they could look forward to, and the Messiah would inaugurate it on the cross. As John Cotraeus, a great Orthodox Old Testament scholar, put it, already in the sacrifices of Solomon's temple and of that second temple, the benefits of Jesus' atoning work were being distributed. God's mercy was real there. And that was the big picture. God's grace, not his wrath, that seemingly had brought the end of Jerusalem. That was just a tiny event, an insignificant event, compared to the super, to the incarnational deliverance that would be theirs in time. You know, I like Luther when people ask him, what would you do if you thought the end of the world was coming tomorrow? And he said, I'd go plant a tree and watch the birds rest in it. Or as my good neighbor in dorm A suggested to me, Dr. Hammond, no good scholarship will ever come from Australia. And I ask him, why not? And his pointed reply, the weather is too nice. There's something eminently sane about that. If the weather is so nice, who would spend all their time in the footnotes of tomes? Well, the weather of God's grace is always too expansive for us to retreat back into our sin and into our defeatism, into our negativism and our small-mindedness. We need to remember Yahweh, and that means to remember His promise, His Messiah, our baptism, our pilgrimages to this altar, where His incarnated body and blood are presented to us freely, fully, as proof of His grace and the reach of His love. The big picture is bright as we start this second quarter. May we join Zechariah in remembering the expansive nature of God's grace. His mercy will return to you and to me day after day, and it will put all other things to rest. May God grant us such joy in the mercy and the grace of our God in Christ, the Messiah. Amen.